the reading this morning is Psalm 16, and if you want to follow it in the pew Bibles at the end of the pews, it's on page 549. Keep me safe, O God, for in you I take refuge. I said to the Lord, "You are my Lord. Apart from you, I have no good thing." As for the saints who are in the land, they are the glorious ones, in whom is all my delight. The sorrows of those will increase who run after other gods. I will not pour out their libations of blood or take up their names on my lips. Lord, you have assigned me my portion and my cup. You have made my lot secure. The boundary lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Surely I have a delightful inheritance. I will praise the Lord who counsels me. Even at night my heart instructs me. I have set the Lord always before me, because he is at my right hand. I shall not be shaken. Therefore my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices. My body also will rest secure. Because you will not abandon me to the grave, nor will you let your Holy One see decay. You have made known to me the path of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Boys and girls, I want to start by asking you a question. And the question is, what do you want to be when you grow up? Now, when you're thinking about that answer, I will tell you my response to that question. When I was growing up, when I was little, I either wanted to be a fighter pilot or a vicar. I know they're slightly different in things, but that's what I wanted to be. And when I got to about 16, I sort of thought about combining the two and becoming a Royal Air Force chaplain. What have I actually become? So that was my dream. That was my desire. What have I actually become? Not quite RAF, Army. I'm an Army chaplain. That's me. That's me. I must be giving these soldiers in their church. We have church outside sometimes in the Army. So I must have been giving them a real hard sermon, because there's my hand going like that. So that's what I'm doing. That's my job. Now, what is it you want to be when you grow up? Desires, what we want to be, and our destiny, what we end up being. And in this psalm, you might like to turn to it, Psalm chapter 16. In this psalm, David, who's a king, David sees that his desire and his destiny are linked. In fact, he says his desires shapes his destiny. So what were David's desires? Well, you'll see it, verse 1, if you look down at Psalm 16. Keep me safe, my God, for in you I take refuge. So although he's a king, he's a little bit like a child. Because children, when they get a bit scary, what do? They run into their mum's arms or their dad's arms, and they seek safety and refuge there. And this is what David is saying: in God I take refuge. He wants to be close to God. Why? Well, verse 2, because apart from you, I have nothing. So there's nothing in his life if he does not have God. So the ultimate desire, desiring God, shapes his life. So how is he going to do that? Well, he's going to listen to God's instructions, verse 7. By the way, where can we find God's instructions for life? Where can we find God's instructions for life? In the Bible, okay? So we need to read our Bibles. He admires and wants to be with people who share his feelings about God, verse 3. Where do we find God's people? Where do we find God's people? In church, okay? Yeah, they're outside in the world as well, but getting together, we meet together in church. So reading the Bible, being in church. And he's not going to go after other gods, verse 4. So other gods, they might be things like Buddha and some of the Hindu gods. He doesn't go after them. But there's going to also be things like money and ambition and anything, actually, which takes the place of God in our lives. So he's not going to go after that thing. Anything which takes God's place, he's going to put to one side. And his desire is to serve only the one true God. I keep my eyes always on the Lord. Now, boys and girls, you might think the Bible, it's sort of like a boring book. It's sort of, well, if you open it, take a look inside it. It's full of lots of words. It's not like your normal picture books, is it? But actually, if you open the Bible, you'll find that it will set your life afire. It's exciting to follow God. So praying, listening to his word, and praying and reading his word and meeting together can be an exciting thing. Now, parents and godparents, you've made some promises today. Actually, those promises imply that your desire for Bella as she grows up is to know Jesus for herself. And baptism does not make her a Christian. And if that's truly your desire, it's going to shape how you bring her up. And by the way, all of you here, if you're Christians, you've made those promises for yourself at confirmation. And your desire is that we grow in knowledge and love of God. How are we going to do that? Well, we're going to do that through reading the Bible, through meeting together, through praying, and through studying God's word. So that's the ultimate desire. But then there's the ultimate destination. And you see that in verse 9 and verse 10 of Psalm 16. Therefore my heart is glad, my tongue rejoices, my body also rests secure, because you will not abandon me to the grave, nor will you let your Holy One see decay. You have made known to me the path of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures of your right hand. Do you see that? His body's not going to decay. He's going to have eternal pleasures. So ultimate destiny points to heaven. But Christianity is not just about pie in the sky when you die. It's also about steak on the plate while you wait. Because look, you will fill me with joy in your presence. So it's about a good life now, a joyful life now, and something great, eternal destiny to look forward to. Now, I need to say this as I close this part. It's not just about doing those things, reading the Bible, praying, going to church. It's not just about them. Those things by themselves do not make you a Christian. They are things that Christians do, and if you're a Christian, you're not doing them, you should be doing them. But what is important is why we do them. Verse 1 and 2 again. Knowing God and his presence. Knowing our dependence upon him. It's about finding security in him. So Bella, she is completely dependent on her parents at the moment. When she gets a bit older, she will feel safe and secure with her mum and dad because, you know, my dad is bigger than your dad. That always happens in the playground, doesn't it? And then when she gets a bit older still, my sons are now 24, 22, and 18, and they think they know everything, all right? And that's why Jesus says, little children, let me just read this to you, Mark chapter 10, verse 14. And Jesus says this, let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. And then he goes on, I tell you the truth, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it. So we need to keep that childhood dependence, that childhood trust in our Heavenly Father. So that's why we do these things, praying and reading the Bible, all that. The motivation is about staying close to God, knowing that we are dependent upon him. And so we want to get to know him better. So we're going to come back and look at some of the implications of that a bit later on. So desire and destiny. I wonder why I never became a fighter pilot. You know, I took up flying as a hobby. I got my gliding wings age 16. I became a microlight pilot. But why did I not become a fighter pilot? I went for the tests, by the way. That was for a flying scholarship for the Air Training Corps. And, I failed. I failed the RAF fighter pilot tests. I passed for navigator, but that wasn't good enough for me. But I just wasn't good enough for the RAF. Now, King David, he had this desire for God. But there's a problem. He's human. And so, although he's got this desire, he's not always single-minded about it. So he did naughty things, and some of it's a bit X-rated, so I can't tell you here with children present. Adults, if you want to know, I will tell you later on, but he did some very naughty things, including murder and adultery. He wasn't good enough. Now, how do I know he wasn't good? How do we know? Well, he died. He says all these things. He's got this desire, and he's got this, he says he's got this destiny, eternal destiny, but he died. And the thing is, we aren't good enough either. We all do naughty things. Believe it or not, army chaplains do naughty things from time to time. And so do vicars. You know, Simon's not perfect either. And so do you. We all do naughty things. We call it sin in the church. So we mess things up. We might have a desire to get to know God, but we mess it up. So there's a question then. David's talking in this psalm about his desire and his future destiny. Well, who is this psalm talking about? Well, fortunately, the Bible gives us an answer. Acts chapter 2, you might like to turn to it, actually. Acts chapter 2, it's on page 1094 of the church Bibles. And David, Peter, he's preaching to the people of Israel on the day of Pentecost. Holy Spirit's just been poured out, and he's preaching to the Jews there. And he says, look, David was naughty. He did bad things. And so Peter, in verse 25 there, he says, look, David says about him. Not himself, about him. Who's he talking about? Well, we'll find out in a moment. But what we are seeing is that this psalm is a prophecy. This psalm is a giant signpost, as all the Old Testament is actually, a giant signpost pointing us to Jesus. Jesus is the man who was not abandoned in death. He rose again. And so that means Jesus wholeheartedly fixed his life upon doing his Father's will and being in his Father's presence. His desire was to do the will of his Father, even to the point of dying on a cross. And so Paul also quotes this psalm in Acts chapter 13, and St. Paul says, Jesus died for our sins, and he rose again. And so Jesus' body did not rot in the grave. He's alive today. So Jesus is this man who Psalm 16 is talking about. He's the man. And so the eternal destiny, heaven, has been opened up to us because of him. So we get to share in his resurrection. We get to heaven through Jesus, through staying close to him. So we do those things we've already said. Can we remember what we're supposed to be doing as Christians? Praying, that's one of them. Reading the Bible. Meeting each other in church as an encouragement for each other. That's why we're supposed to meet together, to encourage one another in our Christian faith. So we do those things. And in doing those things, we get encouraged to stay close to Jesus. But there's something else we need to do as Christians, and that is admit that we need Jesus. We need to repent of our sins. And that's what you've done in the baptism service. And that's what we do every single Sunday. The confession is there because we are admitting that we are not perfect. And it's about continually coming back to Jesus, relying on him, so that our desire should be to stay close to him, not because it's a duty, but because we want to, and because we are thankful to him for all that he has done. So my desire is to try and stay close to Jesus. I don't always do that. But my eternal destiny is secure because of Jesus. Now, if you're not yet a Christian, thank you for coming, by the way. But these things are important for you. If you've got questions, ask them later. Now, if you are a Christian, let me just say this. Because when I was a curate in a church in East London, there was a lady, and she was close to death, and I said to her, "You know, of course, where you're going." And she said, "Well, we can't be sure, can we?" And I said, "What do you mean you can't be sure?" And she said, "Well, you can't be sure. It's if I've been good enough." And when I was a vicar in Stoke-on-Trent, it was exactly the same. Some of the older people, "We can't be sure." And some people thought I was presumptuous because I would say, "That is my eternal destiny." If you are a Christian, if your desire is to stay close to Jesus, then you can be sure. It's not presumptuous. It's about taking Jesus at his word. He promises eternal life to all those who believe and trust in him. And it doesn't depend upon me. I will fail him. I will sin. But I keep coming back and confessing those things to him. And therefore, my eternal destiny is secure. So if you're a Christian and your desire is to follow Jesus, you be sure of where you're going. There's no doubt about it. Because nothing and no one can pluck us from God's hand. We are secure in him. And if you want to know that security, you admit you're a sinner. You come to God in repentance through Jesus. And you learn to know him more through reading the Bible, through praying. And that eternal destiny becomes secure for you. Amen.